Hello, everyone. Tracy here, your resident business rebel, and you're listening to Cocktails, Coffee, and Conversations podcast, the show that lets true stories and insider secrets of digital entrepreneur life unfold. Our business world is growing, and as an online business coach and digital product creator, I believe you didn't become an entrepreneur to grin and bear your way through business. So I'll be your guide as we drop in on coaching calls, have intimate sit-downs with online personalities you love, and discuss ideas, opportunities, and strategies circulating our online world. So pop in your earbuds, tap follow, and join me as I demystify this thing called business.
But someone may be saying, for whatever reason, I'm not ready yet. Mm. And so giving people that access that allows them to build their own confidence in themselves to see what they actually are ready for, regardless of the money part.
Welcome in, everyone. Today, I am joined by Sue McLaughlin of the Unicorn Advisory. And if you haven't come across Sue yet, she is an online business strategist and Kajabi expert. She loves talking about Kajabi, marketing courses, launching, and online business. And that's what you'll hear in these special sessions where you can drop in on us having an inside chat about hot topics in the online business world. And today we're going to dive into the world of low ticket offers and how they can have a big impact on your business. We're going to discuss the importance of experimenting with lower price points, building trust with customers, and what does that look like with different price models, and providing different options for their needs. Have a listen as we explore the strategy behind low ticket offers and how they can be used to increase your visibility, to attract new customers, and the secret to making them successful in your business and not just because they're popular. So grab a cup of coffee or a cocktail, sit back, and get ready to discover the fascinating world of low ticket offers.
Low ticket offers.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. How do you see them best being used? And what let's start with the what they are.
Right. That's always the thing, because for all of you who know me, I'm very big on jargon busting, right? So we hear all kinds of words thrown out. And it's kind of funny because you know who somebody was taught by versus by like what vocabulary they choose to use. But it really is, it's like, what does that mean, low cost? Right? Because in truth, what is low cost to someone versus what is high cost to someone else is very, very much dependent on the human and their world and what they're going through, right? But whenever we're talking about it from a online industry and coaching industry perspective, we mean it as basically things that are under 100. So $100, 100 pounds, you know, 100 euros, 100 fill in the blank, whatever you got. It's the things that are under that mark. And then you have your no-brainer low costers, and those are typically under 50, right? So, you know, people being people and wanting to make their marks, they even segment within a segment within a segment, right? So these come across as like a lot of different terms that people will hear: upsells, bumps, tripwires, VIP, like we talked about before, like all these different kinds of things. But what we're going to concentrate on today is as a standalone offer. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about it like as a bump, as an upsell, a tripwire, a fill in the blank. You know, if any of you want to hear that, let us know. You know, pop it in the comments, fill out the form and give us your question, and we're happy to nerd out on that. But for the sake of a constrained conversation, we'll go with them as like a one-off. Yeah.
And these one-off, whilst we're not going to go into it, the one-offs could be used as a future tripwire, order bump, or anything. We'll just save that whole tripwire upsell because we could talk about that for about 2.5 days.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that you will see in both of our models. I do more boutique style, which is just a fancy term for saying it's expensive, versus like she does a lot of like lower ticket and a lot of what's considered mass pricing. So a lot of times you'll hear it talked about as a difference between a Walmart pricing model versus a designer pricing model. And that basically boils down to like shorthand for volume. Mm. The cheaper something is, the more volume you have to sell in order to hit what's called your break-even point, which means you've covered your cost and then eventually go into profit. Whereas whenever you have a boutique, a higher end offer, typically one of them, like just selling one, covers the cost of the output of that one. And, you know, hopefully like pops you into some form of a profit margin. Yeah. Mm. Because there's individual time, there's often extra staff, there's like lots of extra things that come in with a higher ticket versus
there's like more a personal touch with it generally. Mm-hmm. With a higher ticket. There's more of you involved. Whereas I guess the benefit of doing that stuff at the smaller end of the pricing scale is generally for the most part, those cheaper offers are going to be self-study offers. They're going to be mm-hmm. something that you can sell again and again. And it doesn't mean that you personally as the creator are going to have to support and give your time. And it just doesn't make sense to do that. So you need to be able to set it up so that someone can complete that offer or that product that they go through on their own without needing to ask you 40 questions. And, you know, there's obviously troubleshooting and things like that, and you'll be wanting to support your students, but that's where you can invite them into more of a boutique offer if they need that additional support from you. And that is how, you know, those lower ticket offers, how people are able to do them, because you can't sell something for $17 and then give someone 5 hours of your personal support time, because you will burn out in a flash. Tell me how I know.
Yeah,
ask me how I know, I should say.
But you know, it's true all the way around, and it's something that you and I prefer to call leveraged products, which other people might term a passive offer, right? And we don't use that term because there's nothing passive about it. You have continued support, you have continued admin, all that kind of good stuff. But it is definitely leveraged because you're putting in the front end work, and then on repeat, bringing in revenue from that, right?
And so that's the thing, it's that front end. The work comes at the beginning, and then the tail is small. Whereas sometimes with the boutique offers, the work comes through the delivery, so the bulk of it. So it's just, you know, where you want to put your work in it rather than there being no work. Because yes, whilst you definitely can get passive to a degree, there is no such thing as magic money.
Yeah, there's always, you know, some effort and continue. I mean, just customer service alone, you know, that will have an ongoing, and I can geek out about money all day because finance is part of my background, but that's not today's topic. You know, same thing with Sue, like on pricing, we got a lot of opinions. And with this concept of low dollar, you know, I introduced those parameters of like less than 100, less than 50, but something that you may experience as you're like diving into the wide world of internet business is some of like the bigger names, the people who are already making multiple millions, their low ticket offer will still be 3 or 4 figures, right? Yeah. It's still the front end, which it's called a loss leader in marketing. It's where you don't plan on making a lot of money from it, because you make all your money on the back end, right? On a membership, on a mastermind, on coaching, on a VIP, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll see a lot of people throw out a lot of affiliate things. You'll see those bundle sales. People will offer things that are typically less than 500, but often like even just less than 100 in a bundle. And it's because those are those loss leaders, right? So we are bringing this up because it is a multiple pronged approach for your business. So it's a great way for people to get to know you, which boosts your credibility and your visibility, because more people are willing to take a chance for $17 than even 97, let alone 997, right? They're willing to take more of a chance, but it also is something that you can weave into other products, as Sue was alluding to before, where you can make that your bump, your upsell, your choke bar, your blah, 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 blah. And so it has a lot of use. Just understand when it comes to how do I make money from this, that goes back to that volume. You are expecting to sell over 100 of something at some point in the future in order to start getting like, you know, your money back, right?
Yeah. And also it comes in, you know, like when you're talking about it being a loss leader, there's sort of two ways to think about it. It's like, think about when you go to Costco and they have free samples for you to try. Or if you, you know, sometimes at a train station or, you know, at the Sydney Marathon on the weekend, they were handing out smoothie drinks and yogurts and, you know, different waters and things like that. That is companies giving their product to you. And that's what can happen in bundles and things like that as a promotional exercise. They're giving it to you to try and find an audience they maybe didn't already have and get exposure to new people. Because especially as things like Facebook ads, that whole Meta advertising environment has matured, it's become a lot more expensive and a lot more difficult to acquire a customer. Like the days of 10 cent leads and, you know, crazy stuff like that, that was happening, you know, 2015, 2016, when people were becoming, you know, millionaires based off, you know, easy Facebook ads, that world doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, things like Facebook ads can be really expensive. And a lot of these low ticket offers originated in this strategy, originated as a way to basically break even or just make a little bit of money on your advertising. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily just have to be something that's on advertising, but for the most part, especially this sort of $17, $27, $37 price point, a lot of people don't expect to have that as an income generating product for their business. It's kind of like that easy trial tester. And you can use the product that you create for that in a lot of different ways to sell on its own. But, you know, essentially for those lower ticket things, it's to bring people into your world and then to use those things as a way to increase the average order value of other products that you might sell. So you can either use it to sell it, you know, to recoup some of that cost, or if you have this product already and it's a really helpful addition or bonus to another product that you're selling, and say that product is selling for $97 and you have this, you know, $17 offer, that potentially, if it's really well aligned, you know, if 20% of the people who are buying the $97 offer then buy the additional $17 offer, that's increasing the value of that other sale that you're making and getting your products in front of more people. So it's one of those things where there's not like one way to use that. And it helps recoup costs of getting leads, because to get eyeballs on your business, you've either got to spend time or you've got to spend money. And if you're spending time and you're doing things like podcasts and YouTube and social media, having something where people can buy in a really like low risk way, like a $17, $37 product, it's a way that someone can be like, oh, I kind of like that person. I like what they're saying. Let me test something. Let me get my little Costco sample or my little almost free thing. And if someone gets a win from that, then they're so much more likely to then come into your world and then perhaps become a boutique customer or recommend someone else to become a boutique customer if they're not the right person.
Yeah, it's very much, it goes into the bucket of marketing expense. Yes, right.
Exactly.
And it's that's also why you'll hear them called SLOs, self-liquidating offers, if you are actually using them to pay for something like an ad,
yep,
you know, so somewhere else. So there's lots of little things like this is where some of the best bonuses come mm-hmm. from. Right? Like people get it included when they buy. Like for me, I have group coaching, but I still have one-on-one coaching. And when someone does one-on-one, they get my mini course, they get access to my group programs as part of it. Right. So you're almost creating like the architecture for your sales just by having something like this, mm-hmm. right? It's a good way to test new things when you're like, oh, I wonder if people would like this.
Yeah.
A peer that I talked to who's in the online space, she doesn't do freebies at all. She does dollar offers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, will someone spend a dollar on this? Let me see how much they find, you know, interesting. How much value do they get out of it? What do they think of it? And yeah, you've played with $9, $12, $17 options before for that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then the other thing as well is that talking about using things as testing, you might start something out at that really little price point just to gauge, is it worth putting effort in? Should I, you know, just selling it in the simplest way possible? Like often I suggest when someone's just starting out with an offer, just to make the checkout page and make the checkout like an enhanced checkout page before you go to the effort of creating the full sales page. And if you can sell it like through the, you know, the most simplest way, and you're getting sales and you're getting good feedback, those are good signals to be like, all right, maybe this doesn't need to be a $17 offer. Maybe I can enhance it and look at, you know, additional things that I can include. And then maybe that could become a $97 offer, like, or even higher. Like, you know, there's some of the things that I've created, and I've seen other people doing this too, where it starts off as a $17 like live workshop style thing. And then you break that up, you turn it into a course, you look at adding additional helpful resources. And then, you know, over time that can become something that you could maybe sell for $197 or even $297 because the value of it's growing, but you're getting to test that process and getting feedback about what else could be added, like what else maybe even could be taken away, like things to help enhance people's experiences is what, you know, helps you grow these products. Or you could find it's a complete flop and three people buy it and no one says anything about it. And you're like, all right, great, I learned that before I invested like a whole lot more time and energy into that, and you could work on something else.
Yeah. And it's a fantastic way to get what we call VOC, voice of customer, right? It's how you can get how they're feeling before, after, during, and then of course, hopefully little snippets for testimonials, right? Like you can get some fantastic feedback of what needs to change, as well as like, you know, some quotes of how people are feeling about it. And that exact same model is what I did.
Yeah.
Because for those of you watching, I guest coach inside of Sue's group sometimes. And I told her I had this process that I do. I've done it with some one-on-one people, but I've never done it as like a group. And I don't even know if it translates to a group. I don't know if I know how to communicate it, if I know how to break it down for people, if I know how to give all this stuff. And so we got together and I did it for $17 for her people. Yeah. And I had 5 people join. And so I was like, okay, this is enough people to like figure this out. And exactly. They gave me fantastic feedback about how to structure, what support they needed, my little isms and nuances versus like what translates better, right? Because that's something that we all have to think about when we are doing things, especially for like a group, like even if it's a PDF, you know, even if it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, this is how I would lay it out, but that's based on how your brain works, not necessarily how other people's work, right? That's why we want to get other eyeballs on it. And then from there, I went to it being $49 and I got more people in, and then I moved it to $97 and I've gotten even more people in. And there are 4 or 5 different lessons that I'm going to add to it. And then I'm going to break out even more. And at that point, it will move up to the 197.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants it, it's like, grab it now. But it's
that's also a great thing.
It's a real life. Yeah. It's a real life example of doing exactly what she just said as a, you know, theoretical. We gave it a try. And it was my first foray into lower price things. Yeah. I had never done anything that was less than probably a 4-figure investment. The only time that it's a 3-figure for me is if I'm guesting in other people's. So I had never branched out in that before. And that was why I teamed up with Sue on it, because she had, you know, she had done those kind of like volume based. And it's great to have the guidance when you want to try that out.
Yeah. And this is the thing, is that doing those lower ticket style of offers, it's not something that has to be a decision. Like, am I going to do low ticket or am I going to do boutique higher ticket? Like, all of these things have a place within your business. And also, you know, you might decide, I don't want to do those things. I'm just going to go back to, you know, doing a free lead magnet or anything. Like, there's no like have to do anything. Like, if Tracy, you had tried that out and you were like, this actually doesn't translate to group, I think I'm going to stick with group, that would be okay. Like, there's no like, oh, you in an ideal business, you have a this offer and a that offer and an X offer. Yep. Because we're going to come back to why. Because you need to match offers to your audience. And that is the most critical and important thing. Like, what does your audience need? And when you come at it, don't be thinking, oh, like, I want to create a low ticket offer. What can I create? Like, be thinking,
yes,
what does my audience need from me?
Yes. And that's, I mean, I have had that exact question on coaching calls before when people are like, I want to make a $27 product. What do I make?
Because I've like, seen someone doing it on the internet. On Facebook.
Yeah. And it's, there's nothing wrong with using that as a way to expand your mind to possibilities and explore. That's just not a foundation that we make a business decision based on, right? Like, even when, you know, McDonald's, they do some of their burgers for like under $2, right? But they're not going, I want to make a $2 burger. Instead, they're like, well, what can I make that does reach that affordability, but without compromising our price? Like, at what price point does that hit? And with them, again, they have the mass, which means their expenses get spread out into more places, you know, like their costs get covered in other ways, as well as they obviously have the brand recognition, you know, and they have like that built-in audience. So it's not as much of a gamble for them if they want to do something that is that price point. Whereas those of us who have smaller audiences, we have niches within niches within niches. You know, you have like however that you're identifying your business at its current stage, there's a lot more into thinking about the strategy and deciding, is this right for me? And if so, how do I execute this? And that always starts with, what do your people need? You have humans on the other side of the screen, reading your emails, watching your lives, you know, commenting on your video, doing whatever marketing mechanism you're doing. Those are real people on the other side, and they're looking to you for something. Right. So sometimes it's a case of offering just one module from a bigger part, offering one workshop from a coaching session that you do. You know, it can be pulling these different pieces out versus saying, I want a $27 product. What do I make? It's like, well, what do your humans need? And then is it something that you can provide at that? Or do you need to keep digging?
Yeah. And also, I think it's a case of, with the smaller offers especially, I think it's really important to make sure that they've got that clear win that someone gets out of doing it. You're not giving a signature course away for, you know, peanuts here. What you're doing is pulling one small aspect, like one thing where someone completes that. So you're not saying, I'm going to teach you how to play guitar. You might be like, I'm going to teach you the three most important chords that you need as a beginner, or I'm going to teach you how to play this song on guitar.
Or this bridge from this song.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's far more specific in general terms. And usually it's something that's, you know, reasonably quick to achieve. This isn't something that someone's going to do over weeks or months. Generally, it's, you know, an hour, a day, a couple of days at most that they'll then take and work on this. And then to get someone to a point where they're like, oh, great. And the end result is that they, you know, take your little mini training course, you know, template pack, whatever it is that you're selling for that cheap price. It allows them to achieve something, which then leaves them feeling positive about you. It allows them to experience your teaching style to know if it's for them, because, you know, for me, I would far rather know that I resonated with someone's teaching style after spending $37 than spending $3,700. And, you know, it's essentially like a little expanded Costco taster. Instead of just one biscuit, maybe you're getting the whole packet. And you're not getting a box. You're just getting a trial where it's an expanded trial, essentially, and giving that opportunity to get someone to know you. But just, I think when you're sort of trying to figure out what will be in that like mini course or offer, it's, think about something that people have asked you about, where you've had like a question like, how do I do this? Or, you know, oh, I've seen you doing that thing, like with you, where, you know, people have gone, oh, I really love your process and how you think about how you do that. Like, teaching a process is a really great thing to include in a mini offer. And it gives that taste and that sense of achievement, like that getting someone to achieve something is one of the most valuable things that you can do through a mini offer. Because looking at a customer, in getting into, I guess, more technical terms and probably less personal terms, like the lifetime value of a customer is one of the most critical metrics for a business, because it's not what someone buys once, it's what someone buys over the lifetime of your relationship with them. And giving that taste makes them far more likely to want to work with you further, whether it is through a coaching program or whether it's buying other of your smaller or potentially bigger digital products, because they've got that positive association.
Definitely. Right. And that's one of those things where you have a little bit of an intertangle, like you have options, right? Yeah. You always have options. And that is one of the beautiful, but often scary parts of having your own business, is that you get to decide, but you have to decide. So sometimes it can be kind of comforting to follow the leader and just like mimic what other people are doing. And that's okay if that is your way of experimenting, right? Yeah. Just don't ever feel like you have to do something with it. But to the point of like where these lower cost offers are intertangled, it's the classic question, what does my human need to know before working with me? Right. So the same way it's like, I have one-on-one coaching. I have this big group program. I have this fill in the blank. It's like, well, what does someone need to know before they work with me? Okay. Well, is this something that I can contain into a 1-hour workshop, into a PDF, into a what, or is this, no, actually this would be another 8 weeks of training. Okay. Then what do they need to know before they come into there? Right. So the same way that you keep breaking it down to come up with a freebie is the same way that you would break it down to come up with a smaller offer, right? So that's what we mean when we say it can be like the foundational module of a course or a program that you already have going, but it can also be a standalone where it doesn't lead to anything yet because you're trying something out, because you're trying to see what people are interested in, which is a great tool when someone is pivoting.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's the thing. Sometimes you'll think you have the best idea in the world, like you will, and you'll be so convinced that this is like magic that the world needs. But do you know how to find out if this is magic that the world needs? Tell the world and see how they respond. And yes, sometimes they're not going to respond how you think. And there's two things that could be happening. A, that could be a messaging issue. And we could, well, we, I say Tracy,
could whole other episode
just on messaging. But also it may be just be that you've missed the mark and it isn't what people need, or it isn't what they want. And you think it's what they want, but there's a kind of a disconnect. And, you know, like having this as this smaller offer, either as an experiment or something that you do like as a workshop to start, or you know, just spend a few days pulling a mini course together to find that out before you spend months or even years on a program is the most helpful information you could ever have. Because I know people that have spent many, many months, 6 months plus, creating what they thought was the most epic course in the world. I have done it myself. My first membership, 3 months of absolute, you know, blood, sweat and tears went into that thing. And my God, it looked beautiful, but it was too broad. It didn't connect because I didn't do that first stage of seeing, is this what people want and need right now?
Yes. And I will give a caveat to that, because people always talk about create what your humans want, but sometimes, and this again goes back to the idea of pivoting, sometimes you're actually trying to move into a different audience. Yes. So when you are creating something, experimenting with something, and you're like, no, this is hardcore what I want to do. I don't care if nobody wants it. True. This is what I want to do. Then it's a case of, okay, great. Then let's find who it is that wants that. Right.
Yeah.
So there is this kind of play between things. Are you in love with the audience that you have? And you're like, yeah, these people reflect me. This is exactly what I want to do. How can I serve them? What can I make that will, that will better their lives, versus like, I've got a passion for this. Now I need to find the humans that also have a passion for this. You are allowed both. And that is not something that honestly enough people talk about. You know, sometimes we are trying to get more of the audience that we already have, and other times we're trying to hone the audience to make sure that we're actually reaching the people that we ultimately want, you know, to work with and to help, you know, make their lives better.
Yeah. And, you know, when you are pivoting, which you might be like, no, I am convinced this is what I'll be doing forever. I will say the chance of you pivoting at some point in the next 1 to 2 years is higher than you might expect.
Yes.
And it may not even be a pivot. It might be more of a
evolution.
Like getting, you know, going from broad to a bit more specific. You know, having that opportunity to sort of test the waters. And because you may have someone who's in your audience now who does match the new direction that you want to go to, but, you know, you might need to go back to a bit of ground zero and put it out there on social media and, you know, maybe run a small ad campaign or do something to get your new offer in front of people. And if you do that before you make the full pivot, then that can be really helpful to know. And also it gives you a chance to do that and to go through that product creation to help you understand if this is the new direction that you want to go in, because that's always a bit of a like, oh, should I do this? Should I not do this? And getting that feedback and going through that process can sometimes cement the decision where you're like, oh my God, yes, this is it. This is what I want to do. And when you are working with someone, whether that's through a digital product or other ways, that can also help you, you know, really feel it, whether this is the right thing for you to be doing. So
in seeing what's possible. You know, because there's some things where you're like, this is so nuanced, or it requires so much of me. There's no way I could bring it to the mass market. It's like, that might be true, but what can we test? What can we play with? You know, what can we move around just to see, you know, just to see what the options are. I know that I've had a couple of offers that I was like, I don't know if I have the capability, you know, it's like, I'm great with small, intimate numbers of people, but to talk to like the world, that seems no way. And then it was kind of like, okay, well, what if I just take this one part? What if I just see what this is like? And I might not get it right the first time. And that's perfectly okay, right? Because they're not losses, they're lessons.
Yeah.
And it's like, what else can I find out? Okay, well, so when I use this example, it doesn't make sense to anybody. So let me see another kind, you know, and that helps you grow. It helps you grow as just a human being, but also in your business. And that was why, you know, I threw in that word evolution there, because it might not be, you know, like a full about face 180 kind of pivot. It might just be a case of falling in love with something that you didn't expect to, or like having a season of your life where it makes more sense for you to kind of go down this one like specific tunnel or into like these group of things, right? Because some people teach based on what they're going on, like in their lives, like right now.
Yeah.
Other people do it based on experience, and other people have never been anywhere that their, you know, that their customer, that their client is, but they have the education, they have the background, they have that training in it, right? So whichever of those that you are, that is okay. Yeah. And there is a way to play around and to try these things that people talk about as like low offers and make it fit where you need it to fit.
Yeah. And it could also be that you are, say, a service provider and you're trying to decide which side of my audience do I go with. So say you are a service provider and right now you are coaching people on dog training. And if you are doing that, you might be like, well, do I want to teach other people how to become a dog trainer? Or do I want to teach individuals how to train their dog? And you'll be like, oh, I'm going both ways. And then you're like, oh, but I've got these, you know, specific things that I'm doing in my business. I don't know if I want to give away my business secret. So maybe I'll teach, but then maybe you don't enjoy it. And by creating things, maybe you could do a smaller offer for both sides and see where it sits, see where it lands with you and what feels most comfortable. And, you know, see what gets the best response, what you enjoy most, because, you know, you don't know. And I meet so many service providers that are like, oh, I'm just not sure which side of the spectrum, what's going to make more money, what I'm going to like, what I feel comfortable with teaching. And if it's that whole thing of like, oh, but if I teach people how to do it themselves, then they won't need me. And, you know, let's face it, ultimately, hopefully that is the idea, because, you know, if you want to move away, or you might be like Tracy, where you're like, well, I don't need to completely, I like working with people one-on-one and I have the capacity for it, or, you know, in a small group. So I don't necessarily want to never do that. I just want to have an option available because I am at that boutique end of the scale. And, you know, some people just don't have the capacity and I want to give an option so that there is a more economical option. But yeah, you know, it feels like it's a choice, but by doing something at the lower ticket end, it doesn't have to be. You could try both things out. And also you could try something out and then be like, yeah, I don't like that. And just quit it, cut it. Like, don't sell it anymore. Like, just because you create something and you sell it for a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is, it could get to a point where you're like, yeah, well, I did that. And, you know, I don't want to continue doing that. And that is okay as well.
It is. And that's, I know, something that people get very kind of like they allow it to stop their progress because they're afraid. They're like, if I go all out, if I start talking about this and then I don't want to keep doing it,
yeah,
what's going to happen? Right. Yeah. And you have a couple options. You can always do what's called like a little soft launch or like a private invite only, like just to the people on your email list.
Yeah.
But you can also use the beautiful transparency. Like there's something that whenever I'm teaching people sales messaging and all that, that is the biggest thing. It's like, it's okay to tell people, hey, I want to try this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to do it forever, but if you buy this, then, you know, I promise to support you in X capacity, right? And you're putting in those expectations, you're putting in those parameters, and you're also showing that you're a real fucking human.
Yeah. Like, you
know, and that is okay, right? Whenever we emulate that, whenever we model that for other people, then it helps them also feel okay with what they're playing with, right?
Yeah. Because
you can put it on your story. You can ask, you know, people for replies. You can put it in your private groups all day long. But there is a big difference between what people will cheer you on for versus what they will put dollars behind.
Mm.
And so this is an option for you to get a real, will someone put a dollar behind this idea versus just cheering on my ambitions?
Yeah, exactly. And also it helps you, you know, I don't want to say justify because I'm not sure that's the right word, but it helps you give a reason why you are pricing something at a low price point when you are testing it out, because you're saying, hey, you know, I'm working this out along with you. So hence you're going to get the better deal because this is a beta. This is a brand new membership. This is, you know, the first time I've ever offered this. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, some people might be like, oh, you know, oh, not, I don't like things that are, you know, experimental. Other people will be like, hell yeah, I want to work with you. Like, you know, right. At this really great opportunity price. And yeah, it's just, I think it's just a case of expanding your thinking about the possibilities and not just going, oh, I'm going to like screw myself over. I'm going to, you know, like turn into the Walmart when I'm a boutique pricing, you know, like people at this boutique end shouldn't, you know, or high end shouldn't sell low ticket because it devalues me. It's about thinking about where this offer fits in your entire business. And yeah, just being open to the idea that it gives you a bit of experimentation options and chances.
And giving you permission to play, right? You know, because it's also very much an eye opener for people who have a hard time separating themselves as a human from the company that they're making, right? Because even if you are the power of one, if you got an LLC, you send out invoices, you have a, you know, you're a business, just plain and simple. You are a business. And I remember a conversation that I had with a one-on-one client where I was telling her that she's an aspirational brand. And that just like blew her mind because she, you know, she sees herself as what she does and she knows she's good at it. You know, she knows that fantastic and her business is growing like crazy. But to realize that not her as a human, but as a brand, as a company is seen as one day I'll be big enough. One day I'll have, you know, insert whatever in order to work with them. One day I'll be experienced enough. One day I'll have the discretionary funds. Like I'll have more expenses. I'll have more, you know, whatever people use to be like, I've got them on a vision board. I've got them on an idea. I'm just not there yet. Yeah. And a lot of times we are those aspirational brands and people don't realize that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it is a way back to the what we said in the beginning. How can you help your audience? You know, how can you help the humans that want to work with you? Before I created the workshop that people can buy for $17 and the mini course they can buy for $97, the only way was if they belonged to a program that someone else had paid me to come in to guest coach, or they heard me on a podcast, or they read something that I wrote. You know, that was like the only way for someone to work with me, even though I was a boutique agency that was over here, you know, in this four figure, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, like same thing with Sue. It's like she has this fantastic YouTube channel that will show you all kinds of things with Kajabi. You got a membership, you've got like all these courses people can take, you've got all this stuff, but someone may be saying, for whatever reason, I'm not ready yet. Mm. And so giving people that access that allows them to build their own confidence in themselves to see what they actually are ready for, regardless of the money part, right? Mm. It brings in, like, by us detaching ourselves from our brand, it actually lets our audience attach their human to what it is that they're trying to do and helps them grow their confidence.
Thank you for joining me here in Cocktails, Coffee, and Conversations. Be sure to check out the show notes for all the links mentioned today. And while you're there, I'd love for you to rate and review the show. And if you have a topic or question you want me to answer, I want to hear it. Head to tracypatterson.com/AMA and ask me anything about business. If I don't know it, I'll bring it up with one of my guests. Until next week, be well and have some fun.